Okay, at 7 p.m., first thing on the agenda, after I do I hear a motion to begin the meeting?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Do I hear a second? Thank you, Commissioner Moulton. We stand, pledge allegiance to the flag, and then a short silence. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, I'm in. All right. First thing on the agenda, I've got 15-minute time period for citizen comments. Anybody, Jimbo, Kim, anybody want to talk about anything? Sharon? Okay. June 20th, 23, city meeting minutes. Is there any more corrections? Has everybody reviewed them?
I sent mine in to Bev.
I know. They were all correct when I got them on Monday. So, all right. Do I hear a motion to accept the June 20th, 23 city meeting minutes?
Motion made.
Thank you, Commissioner Bedell. Second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay. City financial reports for June 2020.
I'm signing off on it right now.
Those are receipts, but there's the financial reports. I know Linda had a question about something, and I never did figure out what it was.
That's okay. I figured out I was reading it wrong.
Oh, okay.
I'm so used to just, I think.
That's fine.
A negative and a positive. They balanced each other out, but kept coming up $14.30.
Yeah, okay.
Over and short.
Okay. All right, so if there's no corrections to the city's financial reports for June 2023, do I hear a motion to accept the financial reports?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right. Invoices and receipts is going around. Well, while we're waiting here, I want to take a moment to introduce ourselves. We have new people in the audience. We have an attorney who's looking to possibly provide some legal services. I want to check this other one, see if she's on yet. Well, her power might have went out. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
My name's Dan Small. I'm the city president.
I'm Beth Lush. I'm the city clerk.
I'm Bob Stone. I'm the mayor.
Dennis Metcalf, Health and Safety Commissioner.
My name is Crystal Adams, and I'm the property maintenance commissioner.
Susan Moffin, utility commissioner.
I'm Linda Buffield, and I'm the roads commissioner.
Okay. So the invoices are going around. All right. Old business.
I can talk about my tree.
Huh?
Can we go back to the expenses yet? Or
are
you still waiting?
Yeah, they're still waiting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead with your tree.
Yeah, go ahead with your tree.
All right. Well, you all saw last month that tree is down in the Rustford Place area. It got uprooted towards the end of April, and we were waiting on my budget to replenish to do it. I contacted MoBetter Kentucky, and I also, Harold's tree guy came through as well. No, both of them. Harold's tree guy came through as well. It went to my, junk folder, so I didn't see it. So it actually came through on the 6th. And I did not realize it was there. Anyway, both of them actually came through with the same amount, ironically. I did not tell either one what either one bid, but they both came through at $900.
Okay.
My recommendation is we stay with Maximus's tree guy because he's our primary guy, and I don't really want to step on toes or make him angry. Mason from Mowbetter did have something that he can do for us, though. He can cement those picnic tables in place if y'all want him to, and he has a garbage can that he can get with, which he also can cement in place. So
that's Mowbetter.
Yeah, Mowbetter, Kentucky.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't think Harold would want them.
So Maximus would remove and dispose of it too.
Yes.
You might want to ask Harold if he wants them cemented in, because the issue with setting them in that he can't move them to mow the grass.
That's what I thought. I was like, yeah, you know, once we decide where they're going to be, that's where they're going to be forever.
Well, what kind of trash can is it?
He said that he got Indian Springs, the golf course there, and they had a bunch of garbage cans because of the golf course, but the golf course is shut down now. The way he described it, I think it's those ones with the brown plastic top with the little flap lid thing. He said it kept water out of the trash bin and stuff. So I can check on that and have him get me picture and pricing and stuff.
Right.
For the next meeting.
Yeah. Linda, you need.
Do you know what you're going to do with wood? The wood when they cut it, are they going
to
cut it?
Yeah, Harold's tree guy mulches it and gives it to Harold and he spreads it.
Okay, I was going to ask you though, are we going to have piles of mulch all over the city? Because that one pile there on Lunenburg is still there.
That's their pile.
Yeah, that's the property owner's pile.
Okay. Yeah,
They live right next to Mason, and, you know, kind of like, and I told them if they wanted to call, you know, 311, they can, and they would want to do anything.
The only thing I worry about is when it's hot and dry, which is not now, but
yeah,
all it needs is one cigarette.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go ahead and call, you know, because it's been several months that we've been out there. Mason's wife called me back in March, I think.
We're not
going to
dump anymore.
What
they normally do when Harold gets it, it goes in front of his house and then it goes behind John's, where there's a big rectangular area where one day we're hoping to do something with it. So,
okay.
But yeah, find out what Mason wants to do. And also, Linda, you probably need to get with Mason because the snow and ice removal contract needs to be updated or renewed.
Yeah, Mason did ask me where the location of the meeting was, so I told him it's here at the Hampton and everything. And but yeah, he likes to come in and do his contract like September or October.
Shall I wait till October asking?
Do it before then because the contract runs from,
I think it runs till November 1st.
Yeah, it runs from November 1st to up for year round. So
yeah, he didn't come to the September meeting because he was still watching like salt prices and stuff like that. But he did come to the October meeting last year.
All right.
So I'm gonna make a motion that we go with Maximus Lawn Care's tree guy for the $900 to remove that tree on Rustford Place.
I'll second it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. All right. Anything else for old business?
Old business?
Yeah, we're on old business.
You can talk about your paving project. Hmm? You can talk about your paving project. I saw the pictures today.
Yeah.
You did.
The concrete then.
It's covered in plastic nice. I checked it before we came to the meeting.
I went by a little bit after 7. All that water was standing, and I thought, wow. But anyway,
it isn't the first time they have water standing, trust me.
I think it all came together pretty well, and
hopefully we'll get some
the homeowners were too inconvenienced about
Yes.
On the street, but I do want to, on the record, I want to thank the mayor and Dennis for really helping with this, because they delivered the flyers to the homeowners, spoke to some of them, and Dennis made sure that everybody had a parking permit, and the mayor made sure that Derby City Protection was notified, so nobody got ticketed, no citation or anything, and I do appreciate your all's help with that.
The only thing I'm worried about now is Paul Prince. Paul Prince. There's some big Paul. Yeah, there's a couple of big German shepherds that live at the end. If we can get through tonight, it should be solid enough that a dog can run on it.
Why is the water standing there? Isn't that the reason why the street kind of sunk in the first place?
I think it rained so much.
No, it. Well, there was two things. First off, the trucks were going around the corner, and the rear driver's side tires were hitting the curb and tearing it up, which also allowed the water from the sprinkler system to run the irrigation system on underneath that asphalt. And when it ran underneath that asphalt and in the wintertime when the snow melted, and then we'd have a freeze, it'd just sit there and crack it back up. Because we fixed that back in 19 when Carol was road commissioner. And it was back to the same condition in a year. And that was all because water could easily run under. With the cement where it's at now, it will go across. And hopefully, well, we won't have any more breaks in the curb. But here again is, I think it's back far enough, but we'll have to wait and see. They've done a good job so far that I can see. I'm not a masonry expert, but they did do something else for us. The rut that's on the corner of Bristol Bay and Northumberland, it took all the extra gravel they had and dumped it on that corner and filled in that rut.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, well, it's already been drove on.
Oh.
Yeah, you can see they're just absolutely cutting that corner, and if we put a curb there, they'll end up breaking it or basically damaging their vehicle. So, and it'll also stop the water.
That's a
yeah, they're making a short
because someone stopped.
No,
they're just cutting the corner.
They're just cutting. You know, when you come down the hill, they just cut the corner. It's just too convenient.
They drive it, you know, it's a citizen's property, so you're not really able to, but I would be really upset if I was a citizen. I'd be like, this is giant rut in my yard.
Well, the thing is once we put that speed bump in, that speed hump, that might stop them from going there. Okay. All right. Next thing we got on is, why don't we...
Question. Huh? I'm sorry, I've got a question. I guess this falls under old business. We talked about Runkie and changing the dates of when the yard waste is picked up. At my house, we're concerned that if you stop at the end of October, what are we going to do with all of our leaves that we're raking up?
Quit raking them up.
Well, no, we take care of our yard. And
there's nothing wrong with leaves on the yard. I mean, you can put them in the trash.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can mow them. I mow mine. It's great mulch. Let's go to the city attorney contracting. Let me see if I got anybody on here yet. Oh. Okay. We have one of the attorneys who's answered Linda, and it's Bob DeWeese. Rob DeWeese, and he's here tonight to visit and be here for y'all to ask him questions, because we are looking for somebody to handle legal services, not to be a city attorney, just to handle legal services. All right, and so whoever wants to be first, go right ahead. I've got my set of questions, so.
How long have you been practicing?
I've been practicing law for 14 years. Yeah. I'm licensed in Indiana and Kentucky.
And then the federal jurisdictions of the bankruptcy courts and the federal courts in the Eastern District, the Western District of Kentucky, and the Southern District of Indiana.
Are you familiar with the government law?
I have some. We do a little bit. I don't do a ton of work directly that involves government. We often interact with government agencies. With my practice, I represent, among other things, a lot of different condo and homeowners associations, and so we end up dealing with predominantly Louisville Metro in terms of foreclosure, and then I've dealt with codes and regulations a fair amount.
Have you done any of the liens?
Quite a bit of liens, yes.
Okay. That's good.
Quite a bit.
Because if you visit our website, okay, this year's tax bill ordinance, we made it so that the legal firm that is working with us can actually do the letters and stuff and charge for it. Okay, it's on our website if you haven't visited it, but it's on our website. It basically gives you the right to charge for legal services and fees and all that.
Yeah, I've done that work with regards to tax liens that the county has
right. Okay.
Been foreclosed on.
All right. And
then, yeah, a lot of foreclosure work.
Well, we don't
don't want to get there, but
well, I kept asking for foreclosures on a bunch of properties, but the previous attorney says it's too much. You know, you have to get, it has to get to some level, and it's usually just about impossible to get the properties, but I don't know, okay? Because we have three possible ordinances. Well, we have two definite every year. That's the budget ordinance and our property tax ordinance. Okay, there's another one I don't think we'll have to do anything with next year because we did the insurance premium tax increase this year, so I don't believe we'll be doing that next year. Okay, unless, okay, we always put it out there to start with as a primary because Louisville, the way the property premium insurance tax works is their county also. So if we're currently at 8% as of July 1st. If they was to move theirs to 10, then they would be able to apply for the other 2%. Okay? So the idea is whatever they decide to do, we do. Okay? And this year unfortunately we had to go there because we had some increases in our utilities costs, our garbage and waste pickup and stuff. So we're trying to play catch up, okay? Because you're limited on what you can do with property tax, okay? And I'm very familiar with that because that's why I'm sitting here, okay? I challenged the previous administration on their 6 cents per hundred, okay, which is 26.9%, okay, and one. So this is one of the things we have a predetermined. We have been using the same ordinances, just changing the date and the amounts each year. Do you have a problem with that?
I don't think I have a problem with that.
Okay.
I'm just looking at it, yeah.
Okay, because you can go on our website. We have a tab that says city ordinances, and you can look back. You can also, if you want to do an evaluation on us, our audits all the way back to 2011 are there. Okay. And actually, when we took over in 19, I mean, the commission that when I became mayor, we were five audits behind. And we basically caught up and did the five plus the one we were on by the time 2 years was up. And we're really proud of that fact, by the way, too. So we're caught up on all our requirements for the state. I do the UFER, which has to be in by May 1st. then every January, Department of Local Government, Department for Local Government, requires a re-entering of who's on the, your commission. So I kind of keep tabs on that stuff because those type of things can cause you to lose your road funds. And that's one of the things that is very important. We have a very good running record with the Department for Local Government since 19, okay? We caught up on everything. I'll put it that way, okay? So that's I just wanted to make sure you were okay with when I send you down the or whoever we take sends down the ordinances, okay? Because I usually do the first read in February so that we have everything on the first read, and we end up doing the second read and for the premium tax, or the insurance, not the insurance, but the property tax in May and the budget in June. So that we have the first read off the, and we can work with it if we got to work with it. Because also, if for the budget in February, I give them a preliminary based off of what the current running is to give them an idea. And we have the time to work on it then. The insurance premium tax is red then for the first read because the insurance premium tax has to be in by the 23rd of March if it's going to be increased. These are little things that we've found out, okay?
Hardly.
All right. So, but mostly what we're looking for in the legal term is I've never got a straight answer from anybody whether we have to have an attorney sign and say these are prepared by, okay?
On like documents that are going to get, I mean, I would err on the side of caution whenever there's any document like that for any of my clients. Just for no other reason, I guess there are two reasons. One, if it's wrong, then you can come back at me and I'll practice.
Right,
sure.
Yeah. We would let you look at it. I mean, we want you to go over them, okay? That's not an issue. My issue is they've worked in the past. It's just simple for you to go over them and make sure they're okay.
Yeah. And then, two, there's the issue of is it practicing all that license and
right. Right.
And whether or not
right.
On that one.
Yeah. And so that's my other question. What was my other question? If it gets to where we're filing the liens, okay, the attorney that does it has to do the interaction with the non-payer, okay? And because now we still have some that are continuing to be the same thing every year and every year and every year. And it's one of those things that I want to, in the past, there wasn't enough written documentation, okay? And that's important, in my opinion, that any documentation should be on a written type of arrangement, not just a phone call or telling them, you know, well, whatever was promised, I don't know, okay? But that is, do you have a problem with that?
No, that's really pretty much what we do with a lot of our, you know, with our condo and homeowners associations, and when we've done the tax liens for private parties that have purchased those, is we'll prepare all the documents, we'll take over working with, you know, getting the liens filed, doing whatever litigation, and then when the debtor or the need that payoff or the lender or whomever is trying to clear title on that, work directly with them, get them a payoff that's good through a certain day, and then frankly, then it's all in writing. If it's messed up, then it's back on us.
Right.
It's our problem. So.
Yeah.
But it's all, there's all a very clean record of that.
Right. We have, this year we added a $50 administration fee for the city of Worthington Hills. Besides, it used to be 1% beginning September 1st and, 10% penalty? We're still 10% penalty, but we're at 2%, and it's every month it's 2% added on. But in October, the first month after the first penalty, okay, October 1st, we've added the $50 administration fee because we have been doing some mailings or done follow-up paperwork or whatever. So we've added that to offset some of our expenses. Okay? So, but again, like I said, our ordinance is on the website. And I encourage you all to look at it. All right? So, is there anything you have for us?
I guess just a little bit about me. Like, I've told you how long I've been practicing. I'm from Southern Indiana, but came over here to the University of Louisville and went to law school. After that, went to the Marine Corps. There for 3.5 years as a tank officer, mostly in North Carolina. I did do 6 months in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. And then got out, ended up in the pharmaceutical industry, ended up in Chicago. My wife and I were there. We wanted to get back here. I wanted to do something different. So I went to law school here at the University of Louisville, and we've been here since then. We live over close to Airport Park, South End.
Mm-hmm.
3 kids, 2 dogs.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, my pleasure. I think we've got, we work with a number of different, with a number of different clients. I think we're really good at communicating and keeping you updated in terms of whatever it is that's going on and trying to communicate in the way that you want to be communicated, whether that's email, phone, letter, however. And while I don't have experience in everything that you might need, I've got experience in a lot of the things that I think contribute to what you need and are ancillary to what you do, and I think it'd be a fairly...
Well, we try to stay out of trouble.
And you try to stay out of trouble.
Well, and part of the reason what do we do to stay out of trouble is we've taken classes with Kentucky League of Cities. Dennis and I are both masters of city governance. That's over 120 hours of total studying. And lots of different things, okay? But we've got Linda, everybody's taken a class at least once. And
we're getting big books for our friends.
Yeah, we got a big old book that we carry around. This book right here is worth it. If you haven't gotten one of these from Kentucky League of Cities, you need to get one. It's everything you wanted to know.
And do they all have a liaison to work with city attorneys?
Yeah, the KLC attorneys will work with the city attorneys or the people doing the legal. I don't know what the charge is for the book for non-members, but I can say this much. This thing has all the answers. Yeah, it's updated every 2 years. I have one for every year that I've been in the commission. So, and it doesn't change very much, but when it does, it's nice to have. And, again, the people at KLC, they are just excellent people to work with, and they're the reason why I'm so confident about what I do, because I started immediately once I got on the commission going to their classes and getting well informed, because that's what it's all about, being informed. Keeps you out of trouble.
It keeps you out of trouble.
Yeah.
It's part of what I try to do, keep people out of trouble.
Right.
So it's a lot easier to stay out of trouble than to get yourself out of trouble.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to enlighten us with?
I think I highly recommend Rob. I've worked with him.
Oh, so you know him?
I had great success with
Arlene. I didn't know what you're doing.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he's very, open communication, open door. Mm-hmm. We've even went to his office and met with him. He's been with East Bay 8 years now, 10?
At least, yeah.
Yeah. So I highly recommend
this. And I know him from when we had him for our HOA attorney, and he's very good about, he takes his phone calls.
Yes.
And calls you back.
All right. I'm going to call him on Christmas.
You call him.
I have a question. Yeah. Are you familiar with contracts? stuff. I mean, like, we have a security contract and a snow contract.
Trash removal.
Yeah, trash removal. I do a lot of those contracts work on both sides, both for condominium associations or small businesses that I represent, and then dealing with, I tend to represent some of the, like, material trades, like drywallers and plumbers and roofers and such, and so we go through a lot of contracts, and there are a couple things that I always kind of, that I always recommend striking out. Like, I don't like attorney's fees provision when it's coming back at you. Arbitration clauses, I'm not crazy about, though, maybe. But yeah, I do. We do a lot of work. I do a lot of work on contracts.
Thank you for asking that, Commissioner Adams.
Spectrum, AT&T.
All the trash. You were talking about the trash things that we've dealt with. A number of those at the association, and those are. The contracts themselves aren't awful, but dealing with various trash providers can be difficult because there's so many different, like, sales reps and so many different offices that you've got to deal with. So, you know, getting that contract in place right the first time is really helpful.
And I don't know if you're aware, we're doing that fee per service thing. So what is your hourly rate that you would charge us?
$250 an hour. Yeah. And if you need me to come out here, I don't travel, I don't charge for travel.
He doesn't charge for travel or anything like that. And that's to file what, leaves and...
Yeah, we don't, really, there's not that, the only really time that we probably have the attorney out here is to do the ordinance reads. Mm-hmm. Not that they have to, okay, but it just makes it more official in my mind, okay, when the attorney reads it. So again, we're, for the next 6 months, it's one of those things we ain't got a whole lot to do, and I don't have any vision to do anything this year. So again, but we do need to, I think at the August meeting is what we're planning on doing, either August or September, is making a decision on who we're going to have to be contracted with for legal services.
Okay.
So if you want to provide a contract to Linda.
Sure.
Okay. It's a.
Letters for my. Delinquent taxes, like that you wanted sent in October and stuff.
Oh,
is that him or is that us?
It'll when the letters go out, the letters will go out from the attorney. Okay, so we'll have a Bev has a standardized letter that's done in the past. Now, I guess we'll just let you put your 2 cents into it. Okay. Again, because this, we've changed the ordinance, but this will give you something to work with so that it's not so time consuming on your part. And those letters are delinquent letters. And I think we were going to put the delinquent letters out the first couple of weeks in October because they have until September 30th. They get a 12% increase over their base in September, then in October is when it really hits. Okay, they get the added cost of the attorney fees and everything else on it. So Dan collects all the names and the addresses and stuff. Is that what you're talking about? And then Bev in the past has worked with our other attorney putting the letters all together, but the attorney's the one that actually puts the letter together.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Makes sense. Typically, how many letters are there?
She would know.
I should know. Right now, he has filed liens between 12 and 15 people, maybe.
I think in October there's probably
50. Yeah.
Yeah, there might be 50. You know, right at the beginning of that period of time when they've missed it.
And we're actually, you know, we, getting 50 letters out is not a problem. I mean, we'll often get from, you know, from condo or homeowners associations. Some of the larger ones might have 50 or 75 demand letters that they want us to send out in a short amount of time, so we can process those and get those out.
What's the problem I've had in the past is we put out that letter and then we don't get the liens out until like March or April, which is kind of irritating to me, okay, because it almost like, you know, we just sat on it just to get some more interest, you know. And I would prefer to get the first letter out, give them a couple of weeks to settle up, because I'd like that the Jefferson County tax bills go out on the first or second, around the first of November, okay? So I'd like to get those lien out prior to Christmas because of the fact that they've now gotten the bill from Jefferson County and they've already got our warning in October.
It might be good to get them out early October so maybe they go on and pay it before they get to Jefferson County and get the money.
Right. Yeah. The first letter telling them they're late should probably go out the middle of October. I think that's what we planned on. But I'd really like to get the liens out before the first of the year, you know, because in my mind, if I was the one that didn't pay and it showed up in March, okay, I'm looking at, well, I know I got this letter back in November, but all of a sudden, now you're telling me you're going to put a lien on the house in March, you know? That just doesn't sit good with me.
Right, that's a long time.
Yeah. So, what's your normal time frame from the time you sent the letter out, notify them they're late, to the time you...
30 days.
30 days? Sounds good to me.
Yeah, 30
days. Sound good to everybody? Sounds great.
I'll be glad to prepare a contract. I can send it for your discussion. I mean, one thing I always do in those is it's terminable at will on you. So if you're no longer happy with me or what we want for whatever reason, that's at your pleasure. So.
Well, the last guy we had was 41 years.
41 years. So.
Who was it?
Steve Schwager.
Steve Schwager. Okay. And Steve's just my office is.
So you're in the same parking lot.
Same parking lot.
Okay, good. I know how to get there.
it's a little closer, actually. So, I'll do that. And if there's anything that I can provide you, any questions that arise in the interim, let me know.
Okay. Anything else?
Thank you for coming out.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
I look forward to talking to you all.
Right. Hey, you have a blessed one.
Thank you. You too. I'm sorry?
Were you with
Abbott in Chicago?
No,
I was with Abbott.
I was with
Abbott. Okay. We filed liens now. Right, Deb?
Yeah.
Okay.
The liens have been filed. I need to get with Steve to make sure it's okay for me to mail notification to those delinquent people. I think it is, but I just want to touch base with him.
Okay, we know where we are in the city contracting. I know somebody, I'm thinking maybe, I don't know, is it not going to work now? They might have turned me off. Yeah, they've shut me down. It took too long. All right. Update on the Westport Business Center lot. I got an email from Jennifer. And she has put the lot up for sale because whatever reason, I don't have any idea. But I do know it's still under the association, and the association will decide whether they want to go along with whatever the person wants to put on there. They're going to require them to provide some sort of indication. One of them, she told me, was for storage facilities, and she says that's not going to fly. She's already told that owner that. So, as it is right now, unless we can get all the signatures, that thing is off the table for the time being. but I don't think it's going to get sold very soon because, like I said, the association has to approve everything up there.
Is that one guy still going to not buy anything?
He's the one that wants to put the storage sheds in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so he's like, oh, I'll sign if we do this?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Okay. Any other questions on the business center? All right. Green space litter problem?
Is it still good?
Still good.
All right.
Every Wednesday or Thursday, Dennis and I are down there, and there may be a little piece that's, but it's not anything major. The bags haven't, the two bags I put down there, they aren't even half full yet. Mm-hmm. So apparently the putting the bags down there and tying them to the tables made a difference.
Cool.
Plus talking to the kids when we saw them down there.
Yeah. Well, there was two other kids that were hanging out in there a lot. I think their kids must have, their dads must have got off because I seen them out mowing grass and stuff. Nobody's seen them in the neighborhood for a while. So okay. Hopefully they have put a rain on them.
Gotcha. Hey, why were you guys down in Luray Court the other day? Or do you not want to say on record?
Oh, I was just getting out for it. But there was a police car, there was a police vehicle on that street, so we came back around.
Oh,
and then
okay.
Somebody came out and asked for permits.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you saw me, but a few nights before that, I was driving around the house right on the end, on the same side you were.
Mm-hmm.
Car door was wide open, had a bunch of clothes piled on top, so I was looking around to see if there was somebody walking over there. But when I come back, I think it was them, and when they saw me driving around, when I drove out, they came back out and put stuff back in the car.
Yeah, that one house that's down where the police car was, yeah, he used to live there, but the lady divorced him several years ago, and so he hasn't been, but he probably came back. His son probably graduated college.
Yeah.
Or something was home. He was probably doing his son. That's what the cop car was there.
All right, the salary schedule plan. Has anybody looked at it? I'm going to keep this on here because we've got till next spring to get something done with that.
Yeah, I think I would like to see if there's anything against doing a motion for raising the commissioner pay to $500 a month starting in 2025. That would be $9,600, and we carried over, not carried over, but we had a surplus of over $20,000, so $9,600 is half, about half of that.
Plus,
I don't know, what do you all think?
$1,500, not $400.
Yeah, I mean, that's
I don't know. I mean, just because we haven't had a raise in, 9 years.
I may not be on the commission at that time, but if I'm a taxpayer, I think that's steep.
I think it's too much.
Well, we'll continue to discuss it. Just keep, bring your pros and cons. I'll put it that way. Bring your pros and cons and, we'll have the. I'll send out a copy of the previous ordinance that's been updated so that we can change the amount on it. But like I said, we just need to work on it. And I'm just bringing it up in old business. Merge of Communications, what's it going to be?
Channel
in there?
15.
What's that?
Channel 15.
Channel 15. Everybody get that? All right. Anything else in old business anybody want to talk about? All right. New business. Any commissioner new business?
I had something. I just wanted to answer a question that Linda emailed about 713. About the usage of the spotlights at the entrance. I had talked to Bob on 7:15 Saturday, and he had told me that he thinks it's because he had went in to adjust or turn off the water, and he thinks he may have tripped the spotlight.
Okay, because they were on. I mean, it's like they were on.
Yeah, and they are also, LG&E was also working on them lights up at the front, okay, in May. And that's why I didn't think anything of it until I saw the lights back on. I'm like, well, somebody's tripped that breaker up there.
I just wondered why it went up double from what it had been.
Well, well, it made sense that they were off. But yeah, they were off for a while. And I don't know what they were doing up there. Yeah, they're up now, yeah. I don't know what they were doing up there, but there was red painted and blue painted all over up there. So they were doing something up there for a while. All right.
I'd like to talk about the shrubs. Oh.
Okay, go ahead.
On the island there at Boynton, we've got those knockout roses. We've got knockout roses in the flagpole island. Those things have got a fungus on them. They all got attacked by a virus. I've mentioned this before. You can water them from now till doomsday, and they are not going to come back out green. They are an eyesore. They're ugly. And there's a lot of... I know the weed man comes and evidently puts down weed killer, but we've got weeds growing everywhere in the... You know, in the flagpole island, and then I just think, since that's right there in the middle,
is that not part of grounds?
Yeah, he did stuff. It says trimmed weeds between Mecklenburg Court and Moray Court, trimmed weeds and killed weeds on Lunenburg Drive, holding ponds, pulled and killed weeds on main entrance, bowing sprayed weeds on Boynton Court and Flagpole Island. That was 7/16.
Well, I mean, have you driven by there? Do you see what they look like?
Yeah, the roses, yeah. Which he was planning on trimming the ones on Flagpole Island.
Don't trim them. They actually have a fungus.
Like all the
They have a fungus on them. If you read up on them, they have attacked, I mean, people everywhere. They're knockout roses. They were supposed to be hardy, and they have been. They have been hardy for decades. But suddenly, they've got this virus that has attacked them. They know it is. You can't just cut them down. You've got to pull them out. You've got to get the soil out, too, because it's going to infect anything else you put in there.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sure that
does. Yeah. And so they just need, before they start to kill everything else that's in there, we need.
So you think
they need to come out. Yeah.
You think they can't be saved? There's no fungicide or something?
Harold's been talking about this fungus for 3 years.
Well,
3 or 4 years. And
we had to take ours out.
Yeah, and the rose bushes that are on Boynton did come back last year, but they're not coming back this year. And I think really between that fungus and that bad freeze that we had in December, they are dead.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a bunch of them bushes up there at the front entrance.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I will tell you, probably the end of August, around Labor Day, Frank Ott has their bushes half off. And I've been real lucky what I've purchased there for our association. And they're good, hardy bushes, healthy.
I want to get some of them ones that are blooming right now. There's the white little flower.
Hydrangeas.
We have those little lime hydrangeas.
No, the ones I'm talking about up at the business building.
Are they bushes,
right?
Say that again.
Hydrangeas, they're at the business building, right?
What did you just say, Susan? There's something that comes out of South Carolina, the Carolinas.
Crepe myrtles?
Crepe myrtles.
Yeah.
Thank you.
They're bushes.
You can make them a tree or a bush.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crepe myrtles is what we need to get.
And Frank, I has those 50% off at that sale because that's what I bought was crepe myrtle bushes.
That's
a good time to plant them.
Yes. Uh-huh. There's some that will push out round and then some that will grow tall.
Right.
So you know, kind of.
You can pretty much.
Ornamental grasses too.
Yeah, I'll tell you what is beautiful and is for our area, which I plan on purchasing some in the fall, is the American Beautyberry. They bloom a flower, and then in the fall, they bloom these beautiful purple berries.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something, you know, you want to put something different in one of the islands. They're very attractive.
What are they called?
American Beautyberry.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I know them crepe myrtles. You don't have to do anything with them. Once you pull them in and they get established, they just go crazy.
After the freeze this year.
Oh, they are beautiful this year compared to last year.
You mentioned ornamental grass. I have plenty at my house if anybody needs to come dig up some. Because you can dig up a clump of it, take it on. But I'll tell you, it's not an easy job.
Yeah, they're pretty dense.
Right, you don't want to put them like that.
We really lucked out on the island, I think, because they didn't destroy any of the shrubs. I mean, they just didn't, you know, and we didn't have to move the light poles and any of that stuff. But then I think if we get those dead shrubs out, then.
Yeah, we took ours out, and it's bare there now. But I'm glad that I haven't planted anything for a year because if the soil has its virus, then hopefully it's gone. But you know, they have staff at Frank Ott that will, you know, go over each bush.
Well, maybe we can snooze them too. If we go there. First off, we want to make sure that we've got our tax-exempt page with us, okay? Anytime you all need any, you know, make sure that I get you a tax-exempt form for the particular vendor, okay?
Is this something that we would want to do as a group? Do you all want to go shopping together to pick some things out?
Yeah, I mean, I will.
I don't know the first thing about them.
Get a couple more for us. I would really like, I may get the beauty berries for my own yard because they're so beautiful.
Okay.
They have them down at the Botanical Gardens. And that's another place to go for, you know, maybe a reference of bushes and what they look like in the Botanical Gardens down.
Okay.
In the river.
How much do y'all think that you're wanting me to spend?
Well, what year, 2 years ago, they were $50. They were marked down half off from 100.
Okay.
So each bush was 50. And then they had some that were 50 that would be 25. But they were smaller.
Okay. But they'll
grow. Smaller size. They'll grow. Right. Uh-huh.
Okay. So $1,000 would be probably more than enough.
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay.
When's the sale?
Labor Day weekend. They right. advertise it.
Put it on the stuff to talk in old business yeah. next month.
But I've also Please. Seen over at the Walmart Supercenter in Middletown, they had some beautiful bushes. So I got some for $1 a piece on clearance.
I have a rose that I got for 99 cents.
Well, I went with Harold when we hit 2 years ago. We went to the trees. We stopped at Home Depot, and he managed to fill up the back of his truck because he talked to the people that had plants. When the plants no longer can be on there,
yeah.
He talked to the people that were coming picking it up, and he bought just about everything that was there. And I know he didn't spend more than $50. So Harold is a negotiator also.
They look like they're dying. They'll get rid of them. They'll talk to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's given me some plants from my yard that were kind of wilting and dying and stuff. And they were lilies, and it's been probably 6 years, and they're still holding for a year.
Yeah.
Now you can't kill those ones.
Well, I do know the knockout roses have a lifespan of about 12 years. 10 to 12 years, and then they start with computing.
Okay. I put plants on for August. Okay, I'll put that's in old business for next month.
Okay.
All right.
4711 Midland or Middlesex.
I ain't there yet.
Okay.
Okay. As we got it. Last month, when I was talking about the KLC insurance, I forgot about this one. It was in there, but it was a separate transaction, and it's for the crime protection policy for public entities. Anyhow, y'all signed off on the sheet, which I haven't gotten yet, okay? It's the $344.88. Anyhow, here is the 2024 budget, and I've made some adjustments to it so that we have the correct amount in our insurance premiums and bonds. If you'll look at the anything that's got black with a white print, those are the ones that have been adjusted. I made the adjustment on the authorized training. I took from 2100 down to 1975. And then we already know what the sanitation is fully maxed out. So I adjusted that number to be closer to what the 12-month amount would be to come up with the amount that we needed for the insurance premium and bonds. So that's what these little numbers on the sides are all about. The number on the insurance premium and bonds, that's what it was. And then the 2100 is what it was on the authorized training. And the 139,000 was on the sanitation trash pickup. But when I calculated out how much the trash pickup's going to be, it's 138,775.68. So I moved it down to 780. 138,780. So that's what I did to come up with the same number on our general expense fund. So we need to. I'll make a motion that we make these adjustments for the 2024 budget. So when Dan does our new sheet for July next month, we've got these already set. Again, do I hear a second? Thank you, Commissioner Beville. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right.
So, Here. Bob, with the trash pickup, we're in a 2-year contract with them, right?
Three. Yeah, we're on our second year now. We begin our second year.
So it's safe to say that we kind of set the tone, for lack of a better word, of what we will pay for their services.
Well, let me put it this way. We kind of got stuck with the having to do what we did.
Right, I know.
Okay.
I'm just curious, you know, when we do try to negotiate a new contract, you know, of course I think
Rupke will oppose this. Well, I talked to my sister. She lives up in the Beachmont area of Cincinnati, Ohio, and they've had Rupke forever. Well, Rupke had not changed their rates with them in all those years until this spring. Okay, they came to them. They told them, we can't provide you the services any longer at this price. So they went out and bid, okay, because they had Rumpke's new cost that was going to be. And they had to have their city vote on staying with or going with whatever contract they were going to go with. And it ended up being Rumpke all over again. And I'm not talking to him as positive for Rumpke. I'm just saying that is Rumpke made a mistake up there, okay, and now they're not falling into that mistake anymore. That so what my after having this experience with this 8% increase, that little clause that they have in there is going to have a cap on it next time. Okay? But here again is, I'm still a firm believer that all these trash pickup companies are in collusion around here. Okay? Because
with that being said, and any time in the dumpsters, I have went to out to past Fern Creek to my aunt and uncle, and was coming down Hurstbourne Lane and glanced up at Fenwick Apartments, and what do I see? Two any time dumpsters, but they were the smaller, like yeah. You have right out back in your complex. But so they did have dumpsters.
I really think what happened, that is part of the problem. They got a contract, and then they didn't act on it right away. Okay? And what happened was, with all that COVID stuff going on, the suppliers for the bins, apparently they didn't have any bins on backup. You know, like Rumpke has a whole barn of them. Okay? They didn't have all these extra bins, so they were having to order them. Only when they found out that they wouldn't be in, or they weren't able to get them in by the 1st of July, I think that might have been part of the issue. Okay. Plus, here again is, it's been in the news about, you know, that one city in town that didn't
yeah.
get pickup because their truck broke down.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't have another truck either.
Right.
Okay.
I think they're just a way smaller.
There was an issue with equipment and also with the bins, obviously.
Maybe they just service apartments or something, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. 4711 Middlesex. Okay. I sent you all some information pertaining to Louisville Metro, Jefferson County Government's Land Development Code, LDC, and also this thing called accessory dwelling units. Now, what these basically accessory dwelling units are, the ADUs, are these mother-in-law places in the small homes or whatever. Only there's one thing that we all need to know, and that is anytime they're talking about anybody wanting to put one in their plan, in their initial plan, it stated that they had to have a majority of the local residents close by approving it. Okay? This isn't the first time this particular property owner has done any renovations to their property without permits. I basically went back on the permits on the business portal, Metro's business portal, and I checked all the way back to before they bought the house, and I went back to January of 2011, and there's never been a permit at all on any additional construction they've done on that property. So they widened the driveway to 3 cars, and they also put, I don't know, because the roof sits below the privacy fence, the top of it or the bottom part of the roof, but when I looked at it on Google Earth, it looks like it's an open picnic type area thing there, and it looked like there's a car parked under it, because they did get notice about 6 cars parking in that driveway.
This is behind the house?
Yeah, this is behind the house. But they've added a big, if you haven't been down there, they have got a 21 by 40, 21 wide, 40 long. It's 841 or 40 square feet of new construction down there. And it's listed as expanding storage shed. Okay? Now, if you haven't been down there, I've estimated the height of the roof. I've estimated the height of the roof, because the roof is well above this additional unit they put down there. I predict that roof on that house is between 25 and 30 feet, which would mean, and Dennis even agreed with me, it looks like there's a porch going out the back side of it, which I suspect he's trying to put in one of these ADUs, okay? And it's one of these things that Preppenhoven thinks he can get it up before anybody catches him. Only problem is they got caught. And they have got irritated residents down there.
So the neighbors are upset about it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he got several phone calls and emails about it. I got one that begged us to do something, you know, that they're literally building a house behind their house kind of thing.
So right now, here's where it's at. Because I've been keeping up with it. I've also been keeping there's one of the people that brought to my attention. He's one of the original salespeople for the Bay Run and Middlesex development, okay? And he owns some property on Middlesex. He's the one that brought it to my attention. And anyhow, as of tomorrow, there's a board hearing. Now, following what they had on the list, they had people looking at the structure. They had people that MSD had not been contacted. Now, I sent a copy of the plat down to the people. I have a list of people down at building at planning and zoning that are in the top positions down there, and I had been inundating. And Crystal will tell you, Commissioner Adams will tell you. Yeah. I have been inundating them with all kind of documentation.
Yeah, I was out of town for the 4th of July weekend and everything, and there was just email after email after email, and they, you know, investigated it. There was a stop work thing issued, but they continued to build. They continued to put shingles on it and things and ignore the stop work order.
Yeah.
They did finally stop. They stopped with the tar paper. Okay, the shingles are up on the roof. Dennis will tell you that. The shingles are sitting up there packed on the top of the roof in the back.
So it's the owner building it himself. Huh? It's the owner building it. Because those ADDs are like a trailer. They're prefab.
Now
he's
building it.
Yeah, 2x4.
So it's larger than what an AUD would be, or a tiny home.
The building is bigger than a good size barn.
Think about it. My house. The size of my house, you know where I live, all right? The front of my house is 50 feet, okay? The side of my house is 25. And we're talking 40 foot and 21.
Yeah, my neighbor's house is around 850, so I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah,
that's huge.
Yeah.
But you don't know if water's being ran since MSD hasn't been contacted?
Well, here's the thing. They ran the building straight over an MSD easement. So how do we know they ain't dumping straight into MSD? So the planning and zoning is having a hearing tomorrow. And in my last email to them, which I sent them on Monday, I contested it for the residents of Middlesex and myself. And also, besides any fines, that they are to disassemble the building and dispose of the materials and put the grounds back to the way they were prior to the construction. Now, here again is, it's one of those things. You don't know what they're going to do down there. Okay?
Can they you know, say that it's a garage?
It's kind of hard to say it's a garage.
Well, I'm just saying, can they dispute it and say this?
Yeah, well, they could try. Yeah, they could dispute it.
Yeah.
But
if it was a garage, would it be okay? If it was a garage with an apartment on the top, would it be okay?
There's no way of getting there's no way of putting a driveway back to it.
Right. I'm just wondering if they could debate that.
I don't think so, because you can only build so far back to the back of your property line. You have to have a clearance from the back of your property line. Which is what one thing in there was. It was like 25 feet or something.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if they have a garage on the back, I mean, a car on the back porch, you know, they could do a circle in their backyard and pull into the garage on the side of the building.
They built it over top of the easement.
You know, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah. First off, it's over an easement. there's a bunch of MSD easements back there,
mm-hmm.
and I don't. It's definitely over one of them. Okay.
And where they expanded the driveway, was that on their own property?
That's a good question. It looks like it is, but it's here again. They expanded over utilities, and one of the things that needs to understand when you're talking to them people that are planning and zoning, they don't allow driveways to be expanded over utilities other than a double wide.
Yeah.
Double wide. They did it without. And I don't know when they put the back building on, but there's the house, and I think the pool is one of them prefabs, plastic ones, you know. You can see it from Zillow.
Yeah, I can.
Okay. And then there's that pavilion. That's what I'll call it, a pavilion. Okay. And that pavilion is probably not even half the size of this building that's going in back there. It's probably 10 by 20.
How big is their backyard? An acre?
It's one that's in a pie.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's like taking up most of the grass, it looks like, from the street. I mean, it slopes down, but you can still see it if you drive up Middlesex and just stop in front of the house. You can look over and you're like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. I wish for the days when all we had to worry about was people hanging chickens in trees.
But isn't there some kind of provision also that the outbuilding can only be a certain percentage of the total square footage of your house or something?
They have so many rules. But here again, it's like anything else. Louisville does what they want to do. Okay? Right now, they pretty much have to decline the permit, I would have to say, okay, because of the size of it, and like you said, where the easements are, okay. But that isn't going to stop this guy. You know, it's probably going to end up to be a big court case. I can pay you that much, probably. The person that I've been talking with, the salesperson for that development, he's willing to get involved. He's not worried about any retaliation or anything. He's willing to get involved because of the fact that it's going to hurt the property values if they continue to do stuff down there.
Is it going to be a court case between us and the citizen or codes and regs?
It'd be a court case between planning and zoning and the property owner.
Okay,
it's not going to be us. We got involved because we had residents complaining, okay? And our job is to make our connections with those people. I mean, luckily, the week prior, Dennis and I went to the mailbox, and on Lutenberg Drive, I noticed that there was a house that had what it looked like was a HVAC replacement going on. So I had gotten a hold of one of those people that's on that list that I have, but all I got was his voicemail. So anybody, don't have to be a city official or anything. Anytime there's work being done, they have to have a building permit visible. Okay? So I went and stopped and asked them to see their building permit because I'd already been on the website, the business portal, and knew that it wasn't there because one of the other residents farther up Lutenberg was putting in one of them Gen X's, and it was all on there, okay? So then he held around. Well, make a long story short, not only did they not have a permit, okay, this was being done through one of them
home warranty
things.
It's
okay.
Home warranty because their air went out and they showed up to fix it and replace it, but they didn't do the first.
Right. So, anyhow, when I talked to Alan, finally, when he called me, he told me that not only were they not, did not have a permit, they weren't currently licensed with the city of Louisville. Okay? So, here again, the alertness, because here, you know, she had a gas HAV, you know, heating and air conditioning unit. You don't want to be fooling with a gas heating and air conditioning, okay, and having something happen with that and end up dying of carbon monoxide. She was really happy that I intervened, okay? And the only reason I did was I didn't want something being done that didn't have a permit that's life-threatening, okay?
So, we've had two gas leaks on our street.
Yeah.
So I agree.
So that is how I got involved with these people. They like the fact that Dennis and me and anybody else that wants to get involved, when you see something going on, if you see a water heater sitting out being picked up, and if you don't know what to do, just call me and I'll check to see if it's had a permit.
Yeah, because those are about $50. I replaced mine in 2016.
Yeah,
it's a permit. It's got $50 to do a water heater. Do you know how much it is to do the HVAC?
It's $120. Anyhow, all I can tell you is when I went back on, it had the penalty on it, and it said double the permit cost. Okay, so.
But they will come out and inspect. For
yeah.
$120, they will come out and inspect and make sure it was done.
Yeah,
right.
All of them had every heating and air conditioning, every water heater, electric, doesn't matter, gas.
Right.
Okay. All that is listed on our website. I have there's a whole paragraph about what's required to be done. It gives them the phone number, okay? So, again, this is what they like about the city of Worthington Hills. They're not having to depend on somebody not, you know, having work done and not having a permit on it, okay? So, we've been working close with them to make sure that people are protected in the city of Worthington Hills. Because there are flyby nights. Everybody knows that. So that's how we got involved with 4711. The next week is when I got the phone call. So I just started hitting everybody that I knew with the planning and zoning. And the reason why I had those is because I was involved with that ground effects. We had so much problems with ground effects. Well, ground effects has moved now. I'm forward to use it. And I think, Jim, you okay with everything back there now?
Is it better now?
We don't know what's going to go on next, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I got big flood lamps, so.
Right? Yeah, I know. You took care of them. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. So that's it on 4711. If you know, it's just one of those things that now it's in planning and zoning's hands. Okay? We'll see where it goes from there. Anything else in new business?
I just wanted to ask one thing about this expense, this last expense here. And maybe I just missed this. There's a $114.78
that
passed.
That
did we pay
that? About that.
We
that
didn't
was
pay
on
last
report.
Month's review. Okay.
It takes forever, my number.
For them to
and Dan always it. Says it's been paid, so I just put the new amount on.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to get it to pay.
3 days, and it takes us until I don't get the thing out until like the 25th or something. And then
okay.
Do
you want to see that?
No, I've already seen it.
Okay.
All
right.
Look at this page. All right. Anything else new? If not, who wants to go first with the commissioner reports? I'm missing my movie. All right, Commissioner Metcalf, go ahead.
All right. Commissioner's report, 7-18-23. Drove the city on multiple occasions, went to the post office with Mayor Stoneham multiple times, went to storage area with Mayor Stoneham on one occasion, went to Mayor Small's office on one occasion. On the following delivery parking passes, 11908 Queen Anne's Court on 7823, 11905 Boynton Court 7923, 4507 Mecklenburg Court on 7223 and 7623, 4431 Bay Garden 625-23 and 628-23. Mecklenburg Court, 715-23, Lindenburg Drive, 7-8-9-23, 11-900 through 11-905 Warrington Court for Road Project. on 7/8/23, 1 a.m. while driving the city, I observed a young lady sitting on the sidewalk. I stopped and asked her if she was okay. She said she was, but I felt like she wasn't. I called 911. They dispatched EMS. When she arrived, she left the scene. On 7/14/23, while returning from the post office in Minnesota, he noticed a domestic situation occurring on Halifax Drive near Lindenburg Drive. We pulled over, and after the mayor stated he would call in LMPD several times, the subject finally left. As the domestic subject was leaving, the resident stopped and let us know her car had been stolen that morning at 4711 Lindenburg Drive, and the car was recovered within a couple of days. Issued parking permits on Luray Court on 7/15 and 16 for two locations. The mayor and I ran one solicitor out of the neighborhood. Today we placed 7/18/23, placed caution tape in Boynton Court for the construction project. Earlier in the month, I participated in the severe weather event we had with the thunderstorms. So today's radio checks will be channel 15.
Thank you. My commissioner report is from June 21st to July 18th. I'll participate in the radio checks with Commissioner Metcalf and everyone tonight, July 18th. I have one citizen request. This one was regarding the improvements going on at 4711 Middlesex. Called the citizen back and left voicemail advising that we have involved Metro Code Enforcement and are actively working on this issue. Received via email the quote from Maximus Lawn Care for the tree down in the green space near Rustford Place. Quote from Maximus was $900. Met with Mason of Mobetter, Kentucky, and got him to quote the down tree in the green space near Rustford Place. Mason quoted $900 also. I would like to note that I did not provide any information on either quote to the other landscaping contractor. Mason also offered services for cementing the picnic tables in place and getting us a trash receptacle for the green space. We'll continue to monitor the bushes and landscaping for wilting and stress. We'll continue to monitor the temperature and the rain and storms to determine the need for the sprinklers to be turned on. And that's it.
Boynton can't be turned on until Evergreen gets out there.
Okay.
I mean, that.
Well, I don't think we need it.
No, I don't know. No.
We had a very wet summer.
Okay, who wants to go next?
July 2023 Utility Commission Report. 7/1 drove the city for streetlight check. 7/15 drove the city for streetlight check. Streetlights out at the entrance of Boynton Court and 4707 Lunenburg. Streetlight out at 11907 Tazewell Drive. And then Bev just let me know there's one on Dickerson. I'll call and report that tomorrow. I also noticed a significant amount of trash on the curb at 11906 Queen Anne Court. I've talked to Bob about that, and apparently Rumpke's picking a little bit up at a time. So after this Friday, I'll go through again, and if it's still there, I'm going to probably have to report it to code enforcement. Then on, well, today, I reported the streetlights out, and I spoke, Mayor Bob called me requesting that I contact Rumpke to notify them to not drive onto Boynton Court this next trash pickup day, 7/21, because the asphalt is curing. I immediately emailed Christopher Pierce and stated that that we're having a city meeting tonight, and we needed to figure out how we're going to get those residents in the back of the loop for trash. Justin was copied to an email replying back to me. Justice, driver supervisor, he suggested that the cans be pulled out to Lunenburg. So I don't know if we maybe should have flyers from that loop back there asking the people to pull their cans out. He said that because Bob had suggested they either back in and pull out on each side of Boynton or pull in and back out, and I said that in the email, and Justin said that they would much rather or prefer to just pull up and take the cans from Lunenburg. So I don't know, does anyone have any suggestions on how to make that easier? Because it seems like the first, two on each side will have their cans out going in on each side to Boynton. So do we have all 6 houses pull their cans out?
Since it's just a one-time thing, I don't really think the homeowners would mind. Do you think they would mind taking it out to...
Is there going to be an advantage to the work that's been done to these residents? And we should say, you know, it's going to help you more once this is done. So if you can take the cans out just this one time.
That's what I'm saying. It's a
They've
been real cooperative.
Yeah.
Right.
We haven't had a problem with
them. Yeah, I mean, would you guys be able to go talk to them again?
Yeah,
We could go there and pull it out Thursday night.
Well, we've gotten to have pretty good conversations with the people down there. I'll put it that way. They have been really receptive to, you know, restricting where they're driving. Of course, we still had the problem with the dogs at the end of the street. I'm still hoping that we'll have paw prints by tomorrow. But other than that,
I think they'd really appreciate it if we pulled them out to Lunenburg and then took them back to the residence.
Well, that was one of the things that I was thinking was if they would just put them out there, then I would go out there on Friday morning because I'm out early anyhow and just drag them up to Lunenburg. But I need to let them know ahead of time because I don't want to get...
So is there on each side of the court, is there a grassy area that they can be lined up there? Because, of course, you can't just put them on Lunenburg at Boynton because traffic's going to be coming in and out. So are they going to be, like, is there an area, like a free space that...
Well, we could...
yard,
it's going to be...
someone's yard they it, can go
to.
Could
they put it in front of the island?
11905, which is the house on the north side of Boynton, there's a big, long stretch of grass where they were parking, okay? We could line them all up there, okay, and basically wait for them to be picked up, all right? And then it's Friday, you know. Dennis and I go to the mailbox.
So will we know by the numbers on the cans which goes where?
Yeah,
we know where
they're going to need. Yeah, they're going to need to mark their cans.
Yeah.
They're going to
well,
need
there's numbers on each can, so.
Well, if the homeowners take them out, they'll know where they set them.
Yeah, that's what instead of, they're offering to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but.
I mean, I got a paper and a pencil.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I was going to be the
but I'm just going to tell them that we're only going to take the trash bins for the recycling and the trash, and we're not taking anything else this week. That was my only reason for doing this. There's not a problem taking the recycling in the trash bin, but if they've got a bunch of other stuff, it ain't going to happen this week. It's going to happen next week. But I do, like I said, Dennis and I have been talking to the neighbors down there. They all seem receptive to everything. They all are appreciative that we're doing what we're doing. In fact, one of them said they were backing their car out and hitting them. They were backing into the rose bushes, right.
Yeah. So I bet they're very appreciative. They don't
and I talked to her again today.
It's going to be beautified too, and they'll be really happy.
Right.
They're both happy.
So...
Okay. Okay.
Do you put it together? I'll print it up and hand it out. Okay, not a big deal. But I pretty much know who they are now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just want to make sure their trash is picked up and
right.
No cars are hit. Okay.
Well,
and then 7/18, I attended the city meeting and will participate in the radio check with Commissioner Metcalf on Channel 15.
Okay. Commissioner Babil?
Me? I sent an email to Bill Funk at Evergreen Irrigation with the photos of the proposed Boynton Island renovations and requested Evergreen have a representative on site when the work got underway in the event modifications to the existing tubing needed to be made. I told him I would contact Evergreen 48 hours prior to when they needed to be on site, and he replied, okay, no problem.
Not been there.
6/22, contacted All Terrain and requested a copy of their certificate of liability insurance. They complied and I forwarded the certificate to Bev and Mayor Stoneham. Created the road repair flyer, which was to be given to the homeowners. Sent that to Commissioner Metcalf and Mayor Stoneham, and they, like I mentioned before, they were very good about contacting the homeowners and getting out the parking permits. 6/25, Mayor Stoneham and I worked on creating the attorney recruitment letter, and I sent up the proposed letter to the members of the commission and the staff, along with a list of potential candidates. And told everybody the letter would be sent out on June by the 5th and requested input from everyone. There wasn't any. 7/5 through 7/12, I emailed the city attorney recruitment letter to 7 attorneys, 4 replied by either email or phone call, and provided me with information which I passed along to the mayor. Invitations to attend the July meeting were extended, and 2 attorneys, Mr. DeLeese and Ms. Ritzert, accepted. Ms. Ritzert was going to do the...
Yeah, we had a preliminary trial, and it was set up.
7/15, I ordered 5 no parking on the street at any time signs and 2 speed hump signs from safety code. 2 of the no parking on the street at any time signs will replace the no parking at any time signs on Caselli Place. Those people seem to think that that's okay.
I know.
The others will be installed at 4106 and 4107 Northumberland and 12017 Halifax. The new speed hump signs will be installed on Bristol Lake Place between 4023 and 4101 Northumberland on the east. Evan had called me and said that on the 15th and said that the work would start on the island on the 17th, and I notified everybody. That's it.
All right. Thank you very much. Now for the mayor's closing remarks. Might as well get comfortable. At last month's city meeting, a resident commented on someone leaving an anonymous information sheet on mailboxes and how the information made his family feel like they were common criminals. It took a great deal of willpower for me not to respond, but an intelligible sound explanation is necessary. This resident did not state what the information sheet had on it, nor did he indicate whether he had received it before. One side of the information sheet had KRS 186.150, residents not to use license of other states, and KRS 186.435, application for operator's license by driver who become Kentucky resident, verification of status in other jurisdiction, procedures for permanent residence, application of driver who becomes Kentucky resident. The other side of the information sheet was rate evasion is considered a form of insurance fraud. Why was this information sheet left bolt it between the mailbox and its flag. This property owner has been a resident since the fall of 2019, and for most of that time, a vehicle with a Florida license plate has been seen garaged in his home driveway and garage. There is also evidence that there are children living in that home. Why does this matter whether one of the vehicles has an out-of-state license plate? The vehicle's using state, county, and city streets. There's a possibility the owner has children enrolled in Jefferson County School public school system. And if the vehicle were to be involved in an accident, one of Jefferson County fire districts would be called to respond. All these mentioned items have a cost associated with them, and that expense is supposed to be shared by all KY residents via tax collected on car registration. In regard to rate invasion information, it's the garaging factor. With individuals receiving renewal notices virtually and being able to do virtual renewal payment transaction, mailing address changes may be considered unnecessary by the insured, but it is important to the insurance carrier. Insurance rate calculations include risk factors. The six that I'm familiar with are amount and type of coverage, collision, comprehensive, and liability, vehicle model and equipment, type, use, and annual mileage, owners and operators' ages, credit risk rating, vehicle's normal operating area or its garage location. More importantly, an insurance claim can be denied for intentionally or unintentionally failing to report the vehicle's garage location. If you don't believe me, ask your insurance agent or web search garaging. I found a blog where a person is complaining about Progressive that is denying to pay their accident claim because it is not having an up-to-date address on their vehicle's garage location. Why does this matter to COWH city officials? Lost insurance premium tax revenue, which was 43% of our total fiscal year 2023 revenue source as of May 31st, 2023, which we are using to pay waste collection, which we received an 8% increase from Rumpke for fiscal year 2024, property maintenance, which includes unforeseen tree damage and removal, road maintenance, snow and ice removal, and signage, contracted supplemental security, and other COWH operational expenses. By the way, any person can call out violators of KRS 186.150, that's the one about the tags, by reporting them via the Department of Insurance Revenues program called Free Roaders. That's Free Roaders. I will be linking the Free Roaders operating a reporting webpage to our website's homepage soon. Okay, was really tough for me to put together, but it did. Now, the other thing I have on here, as a reminder, because I'm having a problem with it, commissioner reports must be submitted to bed no later than the Friday after the city meeting. Okay, so please, when she has me pre-look at it and I'm seeing commissioner reports on it, not on it, that's really tying up the timing, okay? Because
I appreciate that, but I do know another commissioner did it.
Oh, I'm not pointing any fingers. All I'm saying I try to get all the posting on the website the Friday before the city meeting. Okay?
I understand. And I apologize and I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, that's all the mayor closing remarks. So, if there's nothing else, do y'all have anything? Okay. If there's nothing else, do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Mulpin. Thank you very much, everybody.
The time is 8:39.
8:39. Thank you.